So my brother, God bless you in Jesus' name. Lisa and I are sitting here listening to your message. And first of all, it's good to hear from you. I have really enjoyed hearing your humble spirit and your heart the last few times that you've said hello. And it is nice to hear from you, brother. God bless you in Jesus' name. So as soon as we started listening, Lisa was the first to say, you know, why is he listening to all this stuff? You know, if it's leading him to confusion, why is he going and looking for that? And so that is something for you to consider. I mean, obviously there's going to be false teaching that comes up all the time on the increase where it'll be in your face whether you want to see it or not. And you have to be able to, as a Christian, discern truth from error. But for it to come at you is one thing versus you going and finding it. And I do know that you have probably burned up a good deal of spiritual energy and time over the years that I've known you in righteous indignation, getting upset by actually going out and looking for all the false. And I understand, brother, as a minister, I used to get so full of heat, friction. I'd get my wheels going really quickly. And praise God, I don't get that upset anymore. And I also stay away from it because I found that sometimes by even watching a video somebody sent me, I would find myself within 5 minutes getting upset going, but that's not the problem that God's asking me to deal with. And that's actually a distraction technique from Satan. It's like to get me to feel overwhelmed that there's so much false teaching. You're not going to have time to teach the true teaching because you got to battle all the false teaching. It's a bit like when I was in the courtroom with Carrie all those years ago, and their tactic was a picture of enemy tactic. They didn't just hit me with one or two or three major accusations. Brother, they unloaded the wheelhouse on me. It was the whole thing came rolling after me. It was like I was standing in the middle of a field and 1,000 different arrows were being shot at me. And it was paralysis of analysis. I didn't even know where to begin. You could actually hear me in the recording saying, Your Honor, I wouldn't even know where to begin if I was going to answer all these accusations against me. And that's, I think, part of the tactic of the enemy is to create so much noise, so much deception, so many diversions and distractions that you'll get overwhelmed. And I just want to remind you, I know that life in the country and being a, you know, dad of one child and, all the stuff that you're going through and your work and all that stuff, it can probably sometimes get boring and you get a little extra time on your hands and you want to know what's going on in America and what's on this YouTube channel. But brother, it can become addictive. Yeah. And to share what Lisa just said, do you mind if I just kind of re-quote?
Yeah, absolutely.
She went through this with her sister-in-law, where they both began with the John 7:17 challenge, and they both started getting on really well with having their eyes opened to all this truth, to the point where it felt like it was a bit too much for them to take at one time, because they saw that God was having to do some tearing down first in order to build back up. And so they had to unlearn a lot of stuff from the charismatic church.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, instead of just staying listening to myself or Zach Poonen, who they already were both in agreement with, were telling the truth, were true ministers of God. Their spirits resonated that what I was teaching and what Zach Poonen was teaching was the truth in keeping with the Bible. And they needed to adjust their minds, their hearts, their belief in line with this truth.
Yes.
But then what happened is the sister-in-law began to jump around from this teaching to that teaching to this teaching to that teaching, and primarily looking at all the things that were wrong out there. And ultimately, she ended up becoming very confused, very divided, and now we're not even in fellowship with this person anymore.
No, she was yo-yoing. So she was starting to understand the truth. God was starting to open her eyes to them, and you know, he was giving us both revelation on it and helping, you know, to settle it in our hearts. And then she would have to listen to the next preacher and then another preacher, and to the point where all this confusion just started to arise, and where she would now go back on what she called the truth. And so right now she was starting to see where the New Testament teaches about the internal rather than the external, being spiritually dead rather than physically dead, that sort of thing. She understood it for some time, and now she's just gone back on all of that. Mm. And she's now gone back to the legalistic side, the external side. And it's like she's yo-yoed. And
You can come across things that will plant seeds of doubt and cause you to question ground that you're standing on.
Really. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was too scared to do that. I knew that God had led me to Michael Criswell. I knew, and Michael Criswell mentioned Zach Poonen. And so therefore, I trusted Zach and I listened to them both. But that was all, they were the only two that I listened to. I didn't.
You developed a trust and there was no need to go beyond that.
Absolutely. And that's all I needed. So I had their teachings and then the Bible. Yeah. And I was doing the John 7:17 and I was doing Streams in the Desert. And that's all I was doing. I kept it simple. I kept it tight. And I knew that I could trust what I was listening to and what I was reading.
Right.
But she didn't. And now it's,
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I came across a message thumbnail from an old message I had done a long time ago called Spiritual Death by Distraction. And I had made a message at one point where I really believe it was prophetic, where I don't remember where the message is at, but maybe one day I'll come across it. But I stated emphatically that one of the biggest schemes of Satan in the end times is going to be distraction. He's going to overwhelm people with fear and anxieties and worries and all of these different things that you have to feel that you have to fix or be worried about or be on warning against. And you're going to be so occupied with all the fires burning around you, you'll miss the fire inside of you. You will not be able to even focus on doing God's will because you'll be so focused on that which is wrong. You won't even have time to do that which is right. To me, brother, I settled this matter a long time ago. Martha, Martha, worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has picked what is better and it will not be taken away from her. I see the Lord applied that teaching to me in the area of me being so concerned about all the people that had it wrong all over the place, all this false teaching. There's no end to the grossness of the false teaching. And brother, if I go out and look at it, I'll start to sink.
Yeah.
I'll start thinking, oh man, I got to do a video about this. I got to do a video about that. I got to do a teaching on this. Meanwhile, the most peace I've ever had is in the last, 4 years since COVID, when the Lord gave me this Martha, Martha insight and said, I don't need you worrying about those things. You keep doing what I'm asking you to do. Do my will and trust me. I am not the Holy Spirit and I don't have to go fix, nor can I fix all the problems that are out there. And this is exactly what the Bible said was going to happen, brother, that the majority of people will turn away from sound doctrine and to suit their own evil desires, they will surround themselves with a great number of teachers to scratch their itching ears. Mm. That scoffers will come in the end times scoffing. Men will go from bad to worse and from deceiving to becoming deceivers. It is from deceived to deceiving rather. And so we have to remember, okay, God said it was going to be this horrible. And if we set out to try to change or fix what God said is irretrievably broken, or we try to stop what God prophetically says cannot be stopped, we're wasting a lot of spiritual energy. Brother, America is an absolute armpit. Spiritually speaking, it's absolutely in the bottom of the toilet bowl. It's like the filth at the bottom part of the totem pole, the toilet bowl. So don't allow yourself to get so worked up. You have a special weakness in this area. Man, imagine how much, if we could put it in a bottle, how much spiritual energy and time you burned up over the unsalvation army. Brother, if I went back and let you hear some of the recordings you made to me, you remember you would go on and on. And it wouldn't be just in one recording because you had a bad day. It would be the next recording and the next recording and the next recording. And it burned you up. Brother, you have got to ask God to help you to get out of that or you'll burn yourself up. My word for you is Psalm 131, where you have to wean yourself. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. This is what David says. And, you talking about all this false teaching in America is a great matter and it's something too wonderful for you. It's bigger than you are. It's bigger than I am. I'm just trying to help the small little number of people that are willing. And you can see there's very few people that are willing to hear the truth. Okay.
Just simplify things, eh? Keep things
simple. Keep it simple, man. Absolutely.
I mean, following God isn't simple. That's hard enough.
That's exactly right.
So don't overcomplicate things.
By going and looking at how everybody else is not walking right with him.
And it's not just the false teaching that's out there also. It's all the new prophetic about end times and all that jargon and all the conspiracy theories. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it's just a complete distraction, and it just exhausts you.
Spiritual death by distraction.
And it causes all this stress and anxiety. I mean, again, this is what my sister-in-law's into. And it's just...
Yep. She was so into the conspiracy theories and stuff now that she told the whole family about a year and a half ago. She said, that's it. We're planning to never see you guys ever again. We already realize now that we're not ever going to be able to see you guys ever again.
Oh, this was with COVID.
Yeah, because of she was buying into all the conspiracy theories about the Australian government and the New Zealand government and all this kind of stuff. And she's like, well, we've already settled the matter. We're not going to be able to see you guys ever again. And it wasn't 6 months later, the whole family was there for a visit. So be very careful, man. See if you can wean yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, listen, man, tonight I went to Walmart and I have a real problem with Walmart. I have a close to a spiritual attack when I go to Walmart. I can't even fully explain it. I'm not going to try to explain it. I got upset. And I had to apologize to my wife tonight and say, you know what? I think I stepped across the line. I think I've sinned against you. I've got a real problem with this. I don't know what's going on with this Walmart thing, but I'm upset about it. See, I'm so focused on trying to take care of my own sin. And I got plenty of sins I got to look after and take care of and keep down by the power of the Spirit. I don't have time to go look for what's wrong in the world. If somebody comes and asks me, hey, Michael, I came across this, I'm struggling. Well, then I might help that person or point into my teaching, but to go look for it, brother, you're looking for 1,000 rabbit holes. It's a distraction in and of itself. It looks like good motive. It looks like a good cause. It's one that will lead to death, man. I'm telling you, stay focused. I think of Jesus in Luke 9:51, when the time came for Jesus to go to heaven, he proceeded resolutely to Jerusalem in the face of Samaritan opposition. He was focused. He violently possessed the kingdom, Matthew 11:12. You know, Jesus says in Matthew, Revelation 3:11, you know, he says, only hold on to what you have. Only focus on this. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. And he talks about another church, I will no longer impose another burden on you. And I tell you, I believe we're in those days where we have to start really being very careful to hold on to what we have and not allowing Satan, God willing, to rob us of our spiritual energy and essence, to put our fire out, you know, and to distract us away. Because see, brother, to be distracted away from Jesus's purpose in your life is to be without his grace that day. And when those days add up, you become graceless and you can be in real trouble. So let me just say quickly, I recommend if you haven't done it in a while, if you're really still wrestling theologically with your position on the doctrine of eternal security, let me recommend that you go to the website, click teachings, scroll down to where you see the documents you can download, and maybe reread the document, Once Saved, Always Saved. And remember that one of the biggest issues is actually when do we actually receive salvation? So when you're talking about what can we lose, how can you lose salvation? The real question biblically is, how can you lose something you never had? The scripture gives ample evidence that you're not really in possession of salvation yet. Romans tells us your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. What? What do you mean nearer now than when we first believed? And who hopes for what he already has? You don't hope for salvation if you already have it. You don't have it. That's why you hope for it. The truth is you do not have salvation. You have an inheritance for salvation. That is what the Bible is clear about. That's why Paul says you have to hold to this gospel firm all the way to the end. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. Why? We had salvation. No, you didn't. You had an inheritance for salvation. That's why Jesus says, hold on to what you have so that no one will take what belongs to you. So the point that I'm trying to make is that the scripture is very clear. If you look at 1 Peter 4:18, Peter said, it is hard for the righteous to be saved. Acts 14:22 says we must go through many tribulations to enter in to the kingdom of God. Brother, I have to say that I think salvation is the hardest thing in this day and age we're living in you could possibly take up. I don't know of there being anything more difficult. And yet, at the same time, I'm going to say this very strange thing that's very confusing. It is also the easiest thing. It's the weirdest thing for me to say that. It is both. That's the mystery of the kingdom of God. It is exceedingly difficult, and yet it's exceedingly simple and easy because of the grace of Jesus Christ. If you simply do your part and you position yourself to receive the grace of Jesus Christ, there will be nothing that will prevent you from being able to have your inheritance. But at the same time, there is the deadly possibility of missing it because you neglect, because you believe the false gospel that says intellectual belief or assent to belief in Christ is enough, and it is not. Jesus is over and over crystal clear. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Here's what the man is like who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice. When the streams rise, when the rains come down and the winds blow and beat against that house, it falls with a great crash. He makes it absolutely clear. We must hold firm to the faith we believe to the end. We must endure to the end. He who endures to the end shall be saved. We must believe what we held to firmly all the way to the end, what we believed in the beginning. Otherwise, we have believed in vain. So that's difficult because of the days that we're in. I believe it's even more difficult. If there were 100 roads that led off the narrow path in the times of the early Christians, there must be 10,000 roads off of it now, brother. That's the problem. That's what the Bible warns about. That's why it says in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, if you go and you read the NLT, it says it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian in the end times. That's what the interpretation says. It's going to be very difficult to be a Christian in the end. So this whole idea of easy believism, brother, is some of the most jacked up spiritual nonsense you could possibly imagine. It's Satan's best work to keep people asleep at the wheel with the car headed straight off the cliff. Yeah. It's a tragedy, man, to see that. And you're not going to miss heaven because of a sin. Brother, but if you start loving sin, you don't love God. I sinned today. I'm not going to not go to heaven because of that. Because when we got back to the place that we're at, I came and I sat down after I had apologized, at least 3 times in the car. I sat my wife on the edge of the bed and I said, I want you to look at me. I apologized again and I said, I think I sinned in my attitude towards you. I think in my own fears and concerns today, I think I maybe even falsely accused you of, you know, of an attitude. And I sinned and I apologized. Forgive me. And I sat right beside my wife and I said, God, forgive me. I need more grace. I don't know what happened today. So I'm not going to hell as a result of that sin until I start loving it and living in it. Whatever sin it is. If you start loving it and living in it, and you love the sin more than you love eternal life, and you love your God who gives it, then for sure you cannot expect to hear, you know, welcome into eternal bliss. You see? So, brother, don't just stay in the fear of God, man. Stay in the fear of God. Don't go, and let me tell you something. That kind of teaching that you're listening to will give you permission to stay in sin. It'll give you permission to not fight against sin. It'll give you permission to let your guard down. And before you know it, you'll be right back in it, swimming in it, and you're as good as dead. You can go back into sin to the point where you can never come back. I've heard quite a number of stories, man, of people who flirted with it one too many times. There was a 78-year-old lady who contacted the ministry a couple of years ago. And she heard my message, trading eternal life for an orgasm. And she said, Michael, I've got to tell you this story. And she told me the story. You know, you've probably heard it, of the husband who went back to pornography after they swore off of it and were free of it. And he did it one too many times. And he could not get himself out. He had been free once, went back, couldn't get himself out, and went back and started doing it again and met with her. And that same weekend, he died. Physical death and spiritual death. And she said, thank you so much for warning people. She said, I never seen a more depraved human being. I think she said that he was doing it 10 to 11 hours a day. When he went back into it, it became so bad that the bondage was so horrific that he was spending 10 to 11 hours a day watching pornography. She said it was the sickest human being she's ever seen in her life. This was a 78-year-old lady that told me this, man. So you can see that it's not something to play with. It's not something, because none of us knows. So take pornography out of the question. Let's just say I want to let myself get a little worked up in a bad attitude over something, you know, at Walmart or something, or just something I'm feeling, or spiritual attack or whatever it is. And I just allow myself to have an angry, hothead attitude about it. And before I know it, that becomes my lifestyle and I'm stuck in sin and I'm in bondage to it. That could end me up in hell just as easy as me sitting watching pornography could. So may God help us and know there's a grace to keep it down. But yeah, brother, stay away from that stuff. You know the truth. You'll only get confused about what you know if you go and you start listening to all that nonsense. Lisa's shaking her head, yes.
And if you need to be reminded of the truth, then, you know, get back in your Bible or get back onto the Michael Criswell videos like I used to and listen over and over and over again and ask the Lord to help to get it into your heart.
Yeah. You know, brother, one thing that we've talked about so many times is the shocking truth that weeds take absolutely zero effort and zero human cultivation in order to prosper. On the contrary, it takes a massive amount of effort for anything that's worth growing, whether it be edible or just pleasing to the eye. It takes a tremendous amount of effort and work to get something that's beautiful to grow. And weeds have to constantly be tended to, and they multiply so quick. Right? It's absolutely a picture of how falsehood is pervasive and lies beget lies, and they grow without any effort whatsoever. There's no need to cultivate it. You know, it's like this. You can easily catch somebody's sin and wickedness, but you can't catch holiness. But you can easily, by hanging around with people that are sin, pick up their sin, but you're not going to catch their holiness. That's something you can only catch from Jesus. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You can't get sin from Jesus. You get holiness from Jesus. He's the only one you can get it from, but you can catch sin from any other human being you're around. It's like weeds. It grows effortlessly. So be careful. Brother, I'm going to end it. We've made a few messages tonight. I'll maybe try to listen to your message tomorrow. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll finish listening and try to get back to you. And I pray that you'll take heart to this. You got to deny yourself, brother. You really do. It comes down to faith that, Lord, I trust that you've got the world going on and I just need to worry about myself and my family and whoever you bring across my path. And that's hard to do, but it's the right thing to do, man. Let the world and its ways go, right?
Yep.
God bless you, brother. Bye-bye.